happily do we send up glory together with thy Father who is without beginning, and then all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Let us attend, let us listen to the holy gospel. Peace be unto us. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew. Attend the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar, Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, from David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations, and from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her, even to the point of when she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Boring, perhaps you would say. What a boring way to start the gospel. Or is it? No, in fact, it is not. judge not by the ordinary appearance of St. Matthew's genealogy, but by the righteous one whose mystery it veils. Let's take a look at this genealogy. David was the king of Israel, with whom God established an eternal covenant. Abraham is the father of Israel. But he and his wife Sarah, you remember, were old and barren, past the age of childbearing. And so, as St. Paul says in a couple of places, they were as good as dead. This, then, is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, who reigns from the tomb. His throne is the tomb. But who is this Jesus, the King of Israel, who reigns, who rules from the dead? He is the resurrection and the life. In him is the light of men. He is the beginning, in whom all beginnings are created. This, then, is the genealogy of the resurrection and the life that reigns in light from the darkness of the tomb, in whom we find each one, our true beginning, our true name, our true meaning and destiny. He is the word of life that was from the beginning, says John. That beginning is the Father. That beginning from the Father is outside of and before all time. But St. Matthew's genealogy proclaims him to be also from Abraham and King David. They are his beginning in time. See how the pre-eternal God, the word of life and resurrection, knits himself into the fabric of our earthly existence. In Jesus Christ, the divine energy of uncreated light and eternal life is at work. It's working in our birth and in our death. In this, Christ is not an idea that one believes or disbelieves. He is the primal energy who has weaved himself into the fabric of our earthly existence. He is the primal fact of life and of death. To believe in him is to live in the energy of his death as the principle of one's life. How does one attain to this divine life of Jesus Christ, hidden from the eyes of the world, as his birth of the Virgin in the cave would signify? I see the answer given with sublime beauty in the movement of St. Matthew's genealogy. Beginning in Abraham, St. Matthew's genealogy of Jesus the Christ begins in the tomb, because as I said, Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead. The genealogy then moves through the generations of Israel from the tomb of Abraham and Sarah to the Virgin, as though the genealogy of Jesus Christ is itself an exodus in time from the barrenness of Abraham and Sarah to the Virgin giving birth to God in the flesh outside the city. But note that Mary is outside of St. Matthew's genealogy. You have to read it close. And you note that the genealogy of St. Matthew takes us to Joseph. And there it stops. Joseph doesn't sire anyone, according to St. Matthew's genealogy. Rather, it says that he was the husband of Mary, and that it was of Mary that Jesus the Christ was born. So where does Mary come from?
Who is she?
It doesn't say. In St. Matthew's genealogy, she appears as though from out of nowhere. It's reminiscent or corresponds to what Zacharias, the priest, said when he received Mary at the age of 3, when she was entering into the temple. As we read in the church's liturgical texts, he says, "Strange is the manner of your birth. Strange the manner of your growing. Strange and marvelous and beyond all expectation is everything about you." Actually, the word in Greek is paradox. Strange and paradoxical is everything about you. The paradox is given in another text. 3 years old in the spirit, but many years old. 3 years old in the flesh, but many years old in the spirit. Who is this Mary? But is this not true of mankind? What does the psalmist say? What is man that thou art mindful of him? What has the prophet Jeremiah said? What does he say? The heart is deep beyond all things, and it is the man. It's deep beyond all things. In other words, beyond all understanding. This is the man. This is you. What does the wisdom of Solomon say? We were created in the image of God's own eternity. What does Genesis say? Man was created in the image and likeness of God. So to explain man, you have to explain God. Explain God and you will have explained man. Who are we? Who are we? What do we hear in the funeral service? The hymn composed by St. John of Damascus. What is this mystery concerning us? How is it that we have been wedded unto death? All of these things give us to understand that this presentation of Mary in St. Matthew's genealogy as a strange, unknown enigma, a mystery, it's about us. She's of our nature. She's human like we are. And so what we say of her, we say of ourselves. Nor does St. Matthew give us where she gives birth to Jesus the Christ. I mean, look at the text closely and you find for me where, exactly where she gives birth to the Christ. And it's even the same true as St. Luke's account. Yeah, they're born in the city of David, but they're not. He's not born in the city of David. He's born in a manger. Because there was no place in the city of David for them. So they had to go to a manger in a cave or a stable or whatever outside the city. St. Matthew, like St. Luke, does not tell us exactly where she gives birth to Jesus the Christ. What does all this mean? This is what comes to me as I contemplate what St. Matthew may be saying. I wonder if it's his way of expressing the theological mystery of Jesus' birth from the Virgin that St. Luke and church iconography also express in the image of the cave. And that is that St. Matthew's genealogy, as does St. Luke's in its own way, leads, as it were, into the wilderness, outside the city. Outside the city of human, ordinary human society. Or as we have heard a couple of times, both last evening and this morning, in the verses that have been said for the Beatitudes, in a place that is beyond, in a mystery that is beyond nature. But in leading us to this mystery that is beyond nature, the place where Jesus is born and laid in the manger, born of the Virgin. St. Matthew's genealogy, you could say, I think, is thereby leading us out of Egypt. And it's leading us to the promised land. Why? Because Jesus Christ is himself the promised land. He's the inheritance of Israel. Mary appears in St. Matthew's genealogy from out of nowhere, just as does the mysterious figure Melchizedek, of whom we read last night from the Old Testament, in the Old Testament readings. And Melchizedek, moreover, appeared to Abram outside the city, in the nowhere between whatever it was, Sodom and whatever Abraham's city was. The birth of Christ, as I just said, is outside the city. He's laid in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn, as St. Luke says, in the city of David. So the manger, or the cave, as it is given in Christian iconography, St. Matthew doesn't give even a manger. He doesn't give a cave, he doesn't give a stable, he doesn't give even a manger. He's born, as it were, nowhere. And so you could say from that he's born in the mystery of everywhere. It is not an ordinary birth. It is a mystery beyond nature. How is it not an ordinary birth? Well, he's born of the Virgin. And there are those who call themselves Christians who will say, nonsense, there was no virgin birth. Okay, there's no mystery then. There's no mystery. God is not with us. It's that simple. God is not with us, and there's no salvation. He is born of the Virgin. It is a virginal birth. And so it is a prophetic birth, because this is the birth that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. In this, both the Virgin and her son are presented by St. Matthew's genealogy as being like Melchizedek, both of them. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. In this, St. Matthew's genealogy leads secretly, mystically, out of Egypt and into the temple, because this is temple language. But this is not the temple that's made by the hands of Moses and Solomon. This is the living temple made without hands, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews, namely the temple of the Holy Virgin herself. St. Matthew's genealogy leads us to the greater and more perfect temple, not made with hands, the temple of the good things that were to come, because that temple is the living temple of the Holy Virgin, not an ordinary woman, not a maiden, a virgin who did not know man, who conceived God in the flesh, not by the seed of man, but by the Holy Spirit, and she became the mother, the true temple of God. In the way that St. Matthew places Mary in his genealogy, I believe that he is telling us that she is the temple of the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. She is the temple that is not of this creation, again from Hebrews chapter 9. And if she is the temple that is not of this creation, if she is the temple of this priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who is her son? Her son is that priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that means that the old Levitical priesthood has come to an end. It's been taken up into the new covenant of the new priest of the new temple, which is God Emmanuel, God with us, Christ in our midst. Mary then is the mystery of the heavenly temple that Isaiah saw in his heavenly vision. In chapter 7, or chapter 6, I believe it is. She is the heavenly temple that Ezekiel saw. She is the heavenly city. She is the holy mountain, even the Garden of Eden. But if that is so, it means that her son is the tree of life. And it means that Eden has been opened again. St. Matthew's genealogy then leads us to the mystery of the temple of God, where earth opens onto heaven, time opens onto eternity, where man opens onto God, in the mystery of the virgin, in the cave, outside the city, in the wilderness. But what is all of this representing? What is all of this referring to? Brothers and sisters, it's all the mystery of the human heart that is deep beyond all things and that is the man. He has led us by his genealogy into the depths of you, your own heart, where you find your true name, where you find yourself created in the image and likeness of God. In the mystery of his holy temple, in the mystery of the holy virgin mother in the cave. This is the wonder, this is the joy, this is the glory of Christmas. I can't listen to those little ditties that I used to love, Christmas carols that I used to love when I was growing up. They're so flat, they're so earthbound. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. Eden is opened again. We have found joy in secret in the cave, for we have found God Emmanuel, God, the thread on the Virgin's spindle, woven into the fabric of the mystery of our birth and death. God has become our own kin. St. Paul says that in the Hebrews. He shared with us in our flesh and blood. He calls us brothers and sisters, and he's not ashamed to do so. He is our kin. He's family. He's our brother. Why did he do this? So that weaving himself into the fabric of our birth and death, he might destroy the Pharaoh who held us in the power of the enslavement of death and corruption. So that he might bring us out of Egypt and into the wilderness to the cave of Bethlehem, there in the wilderness. But what else is in the wilderness? What else is outside the city? Golgotha, the cross, the tomb. This is where St. Matthew's genealogy has brought us. Outside the city, to the cave of Bethlehem, to the cross, to the tomb, to the tree of life himself on Golgotha, and into the empty tomb, and out onto the other side in the promised land of our inheritance, the kingdom of life, in whom is the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness of the cave. It shines in the darkness of the tomb. It shines in the darkness of the human heart, illumining us and revealing to us our true name in him who is the very name of God. So how then do we attain to this divine life, hidden in the deep of our heart, in the terrible beauty and glory of Christmas? How do we go in spirit to the cave of Bethlehem? How do I make this beautiful vision the principle of my everyday life? The wilderness, I think we could say, outside the city, is the image of my barren soul, but is also the image of the purity of heart to which we attain when we put to death what's earthly in us. It is then, when we have attained to purity of heart in the wilderness, that we come upon the mystery of the virgin birth, when the Lord, in the power of his cross outside the city, restores us to our original beauty and even to our original virginity. I make my way spiritually into the wilderness. I come to the cave outside the city by denying myself, taking up my cross, in the ascetic disciplines of prayer and fasting, and following Christ outside the city to his cross, to unite myself to him in the likeness of his death, and to lose my life in him, not outside of him, but to lose my life in him, that I may find my life in him, in his manger, in the empty tomb, which he has transfigured into the font of my resurrection in him. This is how we come out of Egypt. This is how we come out from the slavery of our passions and the power of Christ's holy cross working in us to bring us into the cave of Bethlehem and to Golgotha and into the bridal chamber of our heart, which he purifies. And we ourselves become, in the mystery of the Holy Virgin, we become temples of Christ. We even become mothers of God, bringing forth the fruits of the Spirit in this joy of repentance, this inner exodus of the gospel. Amen. In this vision, I proclaim to you, Merry Christmas. Christ is in our midst.
He is.